Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, my friends. How are you tonight? We want to welcome you to When Passion Meets Purpose. I am your host for tonight, Leslie Bishop Joe, and it is indeed a pleasure and an honor to be with you all on tonight. We're asking that you get your hearts in tune and prepare to grow on tonight. We're going to just delve a little bit into the word for these next few fleeting moments on tonight. We're grateful to God for all that he's done for us. We want to just look to him right now. Lord, please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Amen. I just want to encourage you tonight. Just keep looking up because it won't always be like this. I don't know what the situation is now for you. It may be great. But some of you may be walking through the valley. Whatever it is, circumstances are subject to change. But we're going to be talking about tonight the fact that there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to delve into some scriptures that just kind of talk into that, speak to that, so we can get to the bottom of what I feel is a very powerful scripture, because God intends for us to be free. He intends for his people to walk in freedom. And so tonight, we just declare breakthrough for the people of God and freedom for the people of God. We want to reignite your desire to persevere, your desire to pursue all that the Lord has ordained for your life. And so that's our desire on tonight. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, we go through the course of the day and we know that the mind is a battlefield for the enemy, isn't it? It's his battleground. And sometimes as we're going through the course of our day, the enemy comes and he wants to bring thoughts to your mind, thoughts to make you think that you're not who you ought to be or not doing as much as you thought you would be doing by this particular time in your life, or whatever the case may be. The enemy always comes to taunt us and to make us feel as though we're less than. But, you know, God has a plan for your life and for mine. And so tonight, that's what we want to talk about. We want to delve into the scripture about there being no condemnation, and we're going to get into that. That has to do with Romans, and I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that in Romans chapter 8. And I read it in several different translations today. I use the New King James Version, but I did use some others. But anyway, it starts out in Romans 8 and 1 and says, Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. So we bless God for that. That was coming from Romans 8, 1 and 2, actually, those scriptures there. And then I read in the New International, let me see here, the New English Version. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Basically reads the same. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, have their outlook shaped by the things of the flesh. That's Romans 8 and 5. But those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit, or governed by those things. So when we go from Romans 8 and 1, we just kind of make our way down to Romans 8 and 5. We get to a little bit of why sometimes we feel perplexed, or we feel like the enemy has come to bring condemnation to us. But really, the Lord is letting us know that the law was powerless to do what it was sent to do because it was weakened by the flesh. But God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he was an offering, a sin offering, and he condemned sin in the flesh. And we don't any longer have to live according to the flesh, but we can live according to the Spirit. And so when we're looking at our scripture tonight, I want to encourage you, because it's telling us that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on those things that the flesh desires. And those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on those things that the Spirit desires. Now, what I was getting at a minute ago is that there are times when, you know, things will come to our minds throughout the course of a day, and the enemy wants to use that to perplex you and to condemn you. And it's not necessarily that it's something evil, but I'm just saying, when we think about those who walk after the Spirit as opposed to walking after the flesh, sometimes we think about those who are living, you know, like way up with their head in the clouds, and they are never touched by anything here on the earth. But there are those who deal with day in and day out feelings of inferiority, feelings that the enemy brings to want to condemn you, make you feel depressed, make you feel alone, make you feel isolated, not wanted, all those kind of things that come. You can be in the midst of a crowd of people and still feel very alone, feel like you don't want to fellowship, don't want to be bothered with people. All of those things come sometimes to bring condemnation to us, because we think, wow, what's wrong with me? I should want to fellowship. I should want to be, you know, with my brothers and sisters. I should want to do more in ministry. I should, whatever it might be, you fill in the blank. But whatever it is, it sometimes comes to bring condemnation. But the Word of God says there is no condemnation. The New English Translation in that verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh have their outlook shaped by the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. Now, that's a little different spin, you know, walking after the flesh, walking after the Spirit, because sometimes when we think of walking after the flesh as opposed to walking after the Spirit, we start thinking sin. We start thinking somebody who's backslidden, somebody who's done something horrific. But it's an attitude, it's a mindset, it's how we choose to allow our lives to be governed. And if it's not put in check, then yes, of course, that which is of the flesh, that which is natural, can end up getting the upper hand, and we don't want that. We want to live after the Spirit. But it all has to do with where our hearts are. Where does our heart lie? What is it that we are seeking toward? So this scripture letting us know that those who walk after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. Those who walk after the Spirit, those are the ones who mind the things of the Spirit, or to whom the things of the Spirit are important. Now let's look at this again. For those who live according to the flesh have their outlook shaped by the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. That's the New English Translation. And I like that because it helps us to think about the fact that we have an outlook. We have a hope. You know, we're looking forward. God is constantly moving his church, moving his people forward. And we are to have a hope and a future, as God spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, knowing the thoughts that he has toward him and always to give him a hope and a future. Well, the scripture is saying we don't want to have our outlook shaped by the things of the flesh, but if we're living according to the Spirit, our outlook, our very hope, you know, our forward momentum is shaped by the things of the Spirit. We don't always have a clear view of where it is that the Lord is taking us, but when we are governed by the Spirit of God, then the Lord can come in and put all those things that have to do with our corrupt nature, you know, our natural mind, and those things that are in opposition to God. Yes, we still have a natural mind. We still have the old man residing on the inside. Even though all things have become new, we have within us the capacity to yield to those things that are other than what God has ordained for us to do and to be on any given day, at any given time. But when we live by our spiritual nature, then we have the spirit nature's attitude, the spirit nature's mindset. We're shaped that way. We have an outlook toward the things of God. We're governed by the Spirit. So it really boils down to which nature is it that we make provision for? Which nature is it that we give way to or that we are governed by? Because, again, there's no condemnation, you know, when we go through our tests and our trials and we're warring on the inside. You remember Romans 7, Paul talked about that before he got here to Romans 8 and 1. He was leading up to this, talking about who shall deliver me from the body of this death, because he was dealing with a fight within himself, whereas, you know, the Spirit was warring to do one thing and the flesh was warring to do something else, and he knew that there had to be an answer, okay? He says, when I would do good, you know, evil is present with me. You know, the things that I would do, you know, those things I find myself not doing. And that's how he came to the point where is the law sinful? Well, no. I wouldn't have known about sin if it hadn't been for the law. If it hadn't been for the law saying, you know, you don't covet, you don't, you know, you don't steal, you don't kill. Apart from the law, sin was dead. But we were made alive apart from the law. And then we realized what sin was. But he told us in Romans 7 about what it was that he dealt with, you know, and he realized that it was sin that was working within him, you know, that he was a man who was born of the Spirit, but oftentimes knowing then that that which is not of God was at work with him, and he didn't understand it. He says in Romans 7:15, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Have you ever been in that type of situation? Now, you know, I can't see you, so, you know, you guys can now be true to yourself. And again, remember that always when people read this, it seems like their minds always go to just backsliding and doing something horrific, but this is talking about yielding to and being governed by that which is our natural man, the things of the flesh. And that's not necessarily that you've backslidden. But he says in the New Living Translation, I don't really understand myself. You ever been there? Sometimes I don't even understand my line of thinking, what I'm doing. For I want what I want to do, you know, what I want to do, what is right, but I don't do it. I do what I hate. And so those are the things that we contend with, not understanding. And that's what Paul was dealing with. He was real. And I'm glad that he wrote it. I'm glad he wrote it from a place where at the time he was a bit perplexed. And it led him to Romans 8 and 1, which we read, where he got to the point where he said, who shall deliver me? At the end of Romans 7, he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's why I wanted to share tonight that there's hope. And God wants us to have hope. You know, he wants us to realize that. In Romans 8 and 1, it starts out by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation. No, to them who are in Christ Jesus. And then it gives that caveat, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, it's saying, don't live according to the flesh, but have your outlook, have your heart, have your forward thinking, have your spirit man always persevering toward the things of the Spirit, toward the things of God. See, Paul later told us that he didn't count himself to have already attained, but he was still pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. See, sometimes people want you to think that they've arrived, but trust me on this, they haven't arrived. But we don't have to walk in condemnation. Whatever the situation is, you don't have to walk in condemnation. Because God has made provision. All he's saying is, I want you to give way. Give way to the Spirit, and then you'll be governed by the Spirit. So it boils down to simple questions such as, which way brings more pleasure to us? We have to really do some soul searching. We really have to do some introspective work. What is it that really brings more pleasure? Because Paul was saying in Romans 7, you know, I do what it is that I don't want to do. So is it really that you don't want to do? And he's saying, if I really don't want to do it and that's what I'm doing, then I'm agreeing that the law is good because the law brings me correction. So the scripture comes back then in an unspoken way, what it's saying to us, what way is it that brings you more pleasure? You know, are you considered that you have more wisdom toward the things of this world? Or is it that we want to be wiser toward the things of God, you know, because it's the wisdom of God that helps us to walk above what it is that our mindset would tell us to do or to be or to want or to desire, because we're all human, you know, we're all human. So when you see those that seem like they have it all together and they never contend with anything and, you know, all is well all the time, that in and of itself lets you know that something is off. But it boils down to the heart, doesn't it? God always looks at the heart, and he's saying that I want you to realize that there is a wisdom that this world embraces, but it's foolishness. It's folly to God. We're going to go there in just a minute. But there's also a wisdom that comes from God, and it's that wisdom that's going to help us, you and me, to walk with our hearts toward God, to walk with our lives having an outlook that's shaped by the things of the Spirit. We want our outlook, we want our wills to be shaped by the Spirit of God. We are constantly being made, you know, being molded, being transformed. Our minds are constantly being renewed. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen one time. You know, and so the mind constantly has to be renewed and transformed. And so that's why the scripture is coming to remind us, listen, there's no condemnation. You're a work in progress, and you have to understand that. So what we want to do, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 19. Now, I just told you that there's a wisdom of this world. And that type of wisdom lets us know, you know, it says things like, well, if, you know, God didn't want us to sin, why did he make, you know, why did he make these things? Why did he make these things available to us? You know, it's just, it's just foolishness in the eyes of God. You know, if there is a God, why did he allow this to happen to me? That's earthly wisdom. But God says the wisdom of this world is foolishness, 1 Corinthians 3:19. To him, see, he's the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. He knows the reasonings of the wise. He knows that their reasonings are useless. And so the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 3:19, and again, we'll read a couple of versions, but I don't use the NIV much, but it says the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. They are constantly seeking to make the word of God a lie, and they cannot do it. They're seeking to prove man's wisdom above God, and it can never supersede the wisdom of God. The New Living Translation says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness, thinking they're so clever, thinking they're smarter than God. But no, we need the Lord. The wisdom of this age is foolishness to God. And the scripture has told us he catches the wise in their craftiness. So we have to humble ourselves before God and realize that we need him and have a knowing within us that it is the mind of Christ that has to be renewed within us. You know, we have more and more to become more like him. That's our desire. That's how we learn that there's no condemnation in us. Is when we walk after the things of God, when we want our outlook to be shaped by the things of God and not to be caught up in our own, what we see as our own wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And that's what we have to understand. So we're going somewhere with this. There's no condemnation to us, to those of you who are in Christ Jesus. You're walking not after the flesh. You know, your outlook's not shaped by the things of the flesh. You're not trusting in the flesh, not trusting in our own wisdom, but we're living according to the Spirit. And our outlook, you know, as we look forward momentum, is shaped by the things of God. We have a hope and we have a future, which means we're governed by the Spirit of God. And so this 1 Corinthians 3:19 that talks about the wisdom of this world that is so deceitful. We're living in a time when men and women are so clever, so wise, you know, but God says he's going to catch the wise in their own craftiness, in their own trickery. That's your scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:19. Various versions say that. He's the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. You know, when men think that they are so smart, so wise, but the wisdom of this age is foolishness to God. So we don't want to be caught up into that. Learning and growing and getting knowledge is good, but with all of our getting, we have to get an understanding, and we want to get the wisdom of God. And we're talking about getting an understanding. Understand the things of God, because this world comes to make it seem as though we're foolish for believing God. Condemns us, wants to condemn the people of God for believing God, wants to condemn the people of God as though they're walking with a crutch. The word of God being a crutch. Why can't you stand on your own? Why do you people have to have a crutch? Why do you have to believe in a God that you cannot see? It's something that you need as a crutch. But no, the word says there's no condemnation. Don't walk after the flesh. Don't walk after the things that seem wise in your own eyes, but walk after the Spirit. Let your outlook be shaped by the Spirit and governed by the Spirit of God. That's 1 Corinthians 3:19. But let's contrast that with the wisdom of our God. You see, the wisdom that comes from heaven, the scripture says in James 3:17, the wisdom that comes from heaven, first of all, is pure. It's not crafty. It's not crafty and cunning like that which we've read about that comes from the world. See, the wisdom from above, the scripture says, is first pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle, it's reasonable, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's unwavering, and it's without hypocrisy. So full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, this is the wisdom that comes from God. Shows no favoritism. It's always sincere. That's another version. Shows no favoritism. This is the wisdom that comes from God, impartial. So this wisdom, first of all, the scripture says, is pure. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable. You're not striving when we really have the wisdom of God. We're not seeking to make people know how great we are and to set ourselves up as some wise one, the one with all the, you know, great words and speaking great, profound words to everybody. No, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Ever dealt with individuals who are so up and puffed up you can't even approach them? Well, the wisdom of God is easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Jesus was that type of person. He was wisdom personified, and yet he was approachable. People could come to him. They could sit at his feet. They could be taught. You know, he would teach them in parables and break it down so that they could understand it. You know, the wisdom that comes from above, the scripture says, is without partiality. You know, they wondered sometimes, how is he talking to this one? Why is he dealing with that one? Why is he letting this one touch him? But the wisdom of God gives us to know that, you know, God is above all of that. And when we're dealing with the wisdom that comes from him, sometimes he will lead us to deal with the unlovely, because sometimes we're unlovely. We're unlovable. You know, sometimes he'll have us to go and embrace the what the world would call the untouchable, because he did it. You know, he touched those whom and allowed them to touch him. You know, I remember when he was around some of the Pharisees, and they said, listen, doesn't he know, you know, what type of woman she is? If he knew, if he was really a prophet and he knew what type of woman she was, he wouldn't be allowing her to touch him. But it was the wisdom of God. He was easy to be entreated, and it was his love and his mercy and his gentleness that drew her. And the scriptures give us to know that he who wins souls is wise. And we want the wisdom of God, the wisdom that's from above, that wisdom that's pure, that's without partiality, that's without hypocrisy. You know, not loving this group because they have, and because they, you know, they have plenty of money, they have the best houses, they drive the best cars, they dress well. So, you know, that type of wisdom that says, I want to be with those people. No, Jesus says the wisdom that's from above is without partiality, and it's without favoritism, and it's without hypocrisy. That's real wisdom. That's wisdom that's from above. And so you say, how then does this tie in to us not being condemned? Is because, listen, the world wants to condemn those who walk after the Spirit as though we have no wisdom, as though what we're doing and the lives that we're living, because we've given up and we've sold out to Christ, they're looking at that as foolishness. But the word of God gives us to know that there's no condemnation to us. You know, we don't have anything to prove to the world when you're walking after the Spirit. And I know it sounds different, because it's always presented as though if you're walking after the flesh and after the Spirit, it means you've fallen into sin. But you can fall in various ways, even in your mental and emotional state, without being back out doing some of the things that we used to do. This is why it can be so deceitful, you know, the ways of the world being so crafty and deceitful, because some things we can't see, and people have really slipped, and they've fallen from the place where they were once established. But God wants you to know tonight that even if you have, there's no condemnation, because he wants to come and bring you to that place where your outlook is shaped by the things of the Spirit. That's the wisdom of God. God has promised that he's going to guide us. You know, you don't have to walk in condemnation. You don't have to feel like, I don't know enough. I'm not wise enough to walk as one of God's children. I feel like I get tripped up when people try to challenge me with regard to the word. We're not here to prove the word. You know, the wisdom of God, the favor of God will rest upon you. And you just have to trust that God will give you what to say, what to do at the appointed time. God will arrest the thoughts that come to bombard you and to condemn you and to bring guilt and to bring challenge from your past, because your past has been forgiven and there is no condemnation. It won't always be like this. Once we call upon the Lord, and we believe him to bring about a change, oftentimes what the Lord does is a suddenly work. And before you know it, those thoughts that used to come and perplex you, you remember what we read in Romans 7 about Paul just going back and forth, this that I want to do, it seems like I don't do it, and I really want to do what's good, but evil is always present with me. Listen, we're not the only ones. We're living in a sinful world too. We're dealing with a body that was sold and conceived into sin as well. But God has redeemed us, and he wants us to know that there's a new life in Christ that you are walking in day after day after day. We're not perfect, but we're walking and moving toward perfection. Just as Paul said, I don't consider myself to have attained. No, there are some who do, and God help them. But Paul said, I don't consider myself to have attained. But you see, what he's doing is not dwelling on what's in the past, but pressing toward what's in the future and looking toward the prize for the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, God wants us to walk in wisdom, and he'll give us the guidance that we need. Even in the midst of our circumstances, he'll allow us to respond out of wisdom, not as the world gives, not that wisdom, not trying to justify the word, you know, not trying to justify who we are or what God has done for us or the gifts that we operate in or, you know, the calling that's on our lives or the favor that we enjoy. No, we're not to be condemned by that. God has called us. God has made choice of us, and it's his privilege to do so. And he has called many, but few are chosen. And there are many, many, many who refuse to come to him because they see the way of the world as more enticing, and they choose to be governed by that way. But God will allow us, if we will let him, if we will allow the Spirit to govern our lives and shape our outlook, then he'll allow us to respond with wisdom. How do I know it? Because he told us, he made us a promise that is just as easy as your next breath. Do you know where I'm going? I'm going to James. James 1 and 5. What does it say? Remember, it says, if any of you, if you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask our generous God. Ask God. Let him ask of God. He's a generous God. He'll give it to you. He's not going to rebuke you for asking. I'm reading that from one of our translations, the New Living Translation. But he is a generous God. You're used to hearing it as, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously, liberally, and upbraideth not. In other words, without finding fault. And it will be given to you. God desires to give to us. And he certainly wants us to ask in faith, believing, when we realize we lack wisdom. Now, some of us have decisions in our lives that need to be made, you know, and God has brought some of you to a crossroads. And now is the time when it behooves you to realize, Lord, I don't have the wisdom that I need in this situation. That's why the enemy has come to perplex your mind and to try to condemn you and to try to, you know, cloud the issue. But when you lack wisdom, ask our generous God. That's what the word is saying. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He is the one who gives generously. He won't find fault, and he'll give it to you. He won't upbraid. He won't hold it from you. If you lack wisdom, ask. He gives to all men liberally. But you know what the issue is? Men don't ask. And that's not gender specific. That means mankind. We think, you remember, I go back to our wisdom, the wisdom of the world. Men think that they can handle it on their own. So they have the mentality that I'll handle all of this on my own. And when I need God, then I'll tap into him. But I got this. I don't need God right now. I'll go to God for the big stuff. But see, the word says acknowledge him in all of your ways. And then he'll direct your path. And that way we can avoid a lot of pitfalls and potholes and all of those things, those snares and things that snag us and hold us up on the way to our destiny if we would only ask God. So So I'm reminding you of that tonight, James 1 and 5, because some of you are coming to a crossroads and you're not who you used to be. You're now able to operate in the wisdom of God. You're able to move from kingdom authority. You know, you used to feel like you had all your ducks in a row, and maybe you did. Maybe your bank account's looking pretty good. But the real wisdom is when you realize that you lack wisdom, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So he's saying when you realize that and understand that you need a wisdom that doesn't come from this world, but it comes from God who sees all. He knows what's in your tomorrows. He knows what's on tap for you for next week and next year and next month. He knows all about it. So that's the God that we come to. We say, Lord, I need your wisdom. And I don't have to beg you for it, because you said if any man lack wisdom, what, let him beg of God? No, he said let him ask of God. Just ask. Lord, I need the wisdom that comes from on high. I need your wisdom in this situation. I need your wisdom for my life, even though I don't feel like my back's up against the wall. I'm not in a hard place. Maybe I don't have any grand decisions to make. But just living life, every single day, we need to ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, without reproach, without finding fault. We need to ask him for wisdom. God, I'm facing another day. You're not a God who criticizes. You're not going to throw it back in my face. And my goodness, you don't know that yet. How many times I have to show you that? How many times I have to tell you that? How many times I have to point you to that in the Word? Our God is not like that. He doesn't rebuke us. The International Standard Version says he gives to everyone generously without rebuke. So he's not going to rebuke us for asking for wisdom. He delights in that. He's saying, I want you to submit your ways to me, and I will make your path straight, Proverbs 3 and 6. I'm going to give you wisdom. Yes, Proverbs 2 and 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So God speaks to us, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Ever been in a situation where all of a sudden, I mean, you didn't know what you were going to say at that given time. And some of you, even in the midst of giving a message or whatever it might be, I had a friend who was asking me something yesterday with regard to a message that we had heard, and no sooner than she asked me, did you understand that? Can you explain that? And no sooner than she did, God gave the revelation to her. Why? Because the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's Proverbs 2 and 6. So when we're open to that, that's all God wants from us. He says, I'm going to give you knowledge, and I'm going to give you understanding. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to rebuke you when you don't know. You're not going to fall under criticism, and I'm not going to let anybody else bring you under condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are walking according to the Spirit. And if they have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit, there's no condemnation in them. So God is saying, I just want you to realize who you're going to be governed by, who you're going to make provision for. Is it the Spirit of God, or is that spirit of Antichrist that's running rampant in the world that gives men to think that they're wiser than God? That's what it boils down to. That's why we see everything that's so in opposition to God, is because people have come to think that they're greater than God, that they can make their own decisions, that, you know, they don't need God. They don't need this God that we talk about, but we need him. And God is real, and he is above all, and he sees all, and there's nothing that gets past him. Let's not get that twisted. So God wants us to understand that he will guide us, but he wants us to ask of him. You know, he will allow us in every situation when we submit our ways to him to respond in wisdom. And I was about to say, have you ever had those times when you didn't realize what you were about to say, but, whoa, there it came, and you were like, wait a minute, where did that come from? I didn't even realize, you know, I wasn't even thinking in that vein. Well, it's God that's filling our mouths. If we'll open our mouths, he'll fill it. He'll give us what to say, and he'll allow us to respond in wisdom. So what do? When we lack wisdom, we ask of a generous God. We ask of God, right? And guess what? We're all lacking. Yep, I did say that.
we're all lacking in so many ways. We're lacking. And so we need to come to God because he is a very present help in our time of need, in our time of trouble. And he'll give us wisdom to make good decisions, to make sound decisions. He will do that. I read something today that said any story sounds true until you hear the other side. You know, anything sounds true, it sounds good, but sometimes you're only hearing one side of the matter. But God comes in to give us discernment and give us wisdom, and that's why the wisdom of God is peaceable. You know, it's merciful, because we realize that, you know, people need the Lord, and we are not about finding fault and condemning. And so that's a wonderful thing about the wisdom of God. The enemy brings a story and an accusation back to God about us all the time, because the scriptures give us to know that he is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He brings accusation against us, railing accusation. He wants to bring before God, but God says, no, you can't accuse them because they're hidden behind the cross. The blood of my son covers them. You can't accuse them. They stand justified. You know, they stand justified. They stand as righteousness in me because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so when we begin to see that, you know, when we begin to recognize that, that our times are in his hands, hallelujah, then it's God. You know, I said things won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. Daniel 2 and 21 says he changes times and seasons. Aren't you glad about that? Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons. Thank you, God. It won't always be like this. He deposes kings and raises up others. In other words, that's where we get that, one of those places we get, he takes down one and puts up another. He gives wisdom, there it is again, to the wise, and knowledge to the discerning. Don't we want that? I know I do. All we have to do is seek our generous God. He wants to give it to us. And he's given us the way. The Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is our guide. The scripture says, howbeit, in John 16 and 13, when he, who? The Spirit of truth is come. See, he'll guide you into all things. He'll lead you into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Aren't we glad about that? And the Spirit of truth has come. So we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to walk not understanding. God has given us the way. And the Spirit of the living God is the one who speaks to us and leads us and guides us. I'm so happy about that. I'm so glad about that. I'm so thankful to God for that. I'm glad to be able to impart such a word tonight, because I want your hearts to be encouraged to know that, you know, you're not walking under condemnation. God is with you. God is for you. And he's more than the world against us. Let's look at a couple more scriptures before we close tonight. I'm hoping you're writing these down so that you can go over them again, even tonight and maybe tomorrow, and branch out on these scriptures and pray and lay out before God. You see, God's word is a lamp and it's a light. It's a lamp and it's a light. Hallelujah. So we need to look into it. You know, we need to let it guide us. His word, Psalm 119, 105, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Is that right? So his word is a lamp and a light. Well, thank God. Thank God for that. And listen, the steps of a good man. Now, this one I really appreciate, because sometimes I think that we fail to get the second part of this scripture. I'm going to go to Psalms very quickly before we end. Let's go to 37. Go to Psalm 37. Now, you've heard the scripture that talks about the steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man. Psalm 37, and let's go to verse 23.
Okay, let's see what that's saying to us. Okay. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Now look at this. That's Psalm 37:23. What does 24 say? When he falls. All right, we just read the steps of a good man. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. That's one version. King James, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But when you get to verse 24, it says, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. What I'm getting at is, oftentimes we don't think about stumbling, falling. We don't see that as the righteous man, the good man. But the scripture says that. It says, though he fall, verse 24, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Another version, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Yes. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. What am I saying to you? There's no condemnation, even if you've stumbled, even if you've fallen, for the Lord is yet upholding you by the hand. You are not to be utterly cast down. You will not be utterly cast down. That is amazing. The scripture has said, and oftentimes we don't even read the second part of it. We just said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, right? And he delighteth in his way. Though he may stumble, or though he fall, or when he falls, you have all of these different versions. What's important here? He won't be hurled headlong. He won't fall face down, you know, but God is holding to his hand. And that's the because God is holding to his hand. And I think it's awesome that we add that part to the scripture, because there are those who feel as though, well, I've stumbled, I've erred, I've lost my place. No, God is saying, I'm yet holding your hand. Your steps are ordered. He delighteth in his way. And though he stumble, though he fall, you know, It's not the end of a thing, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. That's why we want to hold to the Lord. Times of stumbling may come, but God has a way of holding us up. Listen to me. Good men fall. Good men stumble. And don't always take this to mean falling down into, generally we think of depravity and sexual sin and all of that, but when we stumble, when we err, it's falling away from, it could be falling away from anything that God has called you to do. But when we stumble, when we err, God doesn't throw us away. Good men stumble. Good women stumble. Good women fall. But God has a way of holding us up. Yes, you know, the ones who are worse when it comes to pulling up someone who has fallen, who has stumbled, is those who consider themselves to be a part of the body of Christ. I've known of situations and read those stories where they've locked the door on people, locked them out of their church because they have fallen. And I'm talking about a great fall in those situations. But they lock them out of the church. But God doesn't lock us out. He doesn't lock us out of relationship. He doesn't lock the throne room. We can still come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we need to find mercy. Mercy and grace to help us. Oh my God, in a time of trouble, when you have trouble, run to God. Don't run from him. He's not like man. He's not locking you out. He's not forgetting about you. He's not throwing you away. You know, and the scriptures give us to know, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. They're going to soon be cut off. Their way is not the way of God. So Jesus wants us to know tonight, if you really desire to do and to know the will of God, he's going to show you what to do. If you really desire to know
Yeah, if you desire to know, and if you desire to do the will of God, he'll show you. He'll show you what it is. Oh, my God. He will do it. He will open up our understanding. That's what's so great about our God. He will open up our understanding. He'll help us to know what it is that we seek to know of him. I want to find one last scripture for you tonight. Let's see if we can go to John 7 and 17, I believe it is. Let's go there. Jesus was saying, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Why did he say that? Because he was going to show them what it was that the scripture was saying. He was going to open it up to their understanding so that they could understand and conceive of the doctrine of God. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. If you have a desire, an earnest desire to know and to do the will of God, then the voice of God, the word of God, the logos will be open up to you, and you'll know whether it is of God or whether Jesus was saying or whether I speak of myself. And we're witnesses today. You see, Jesus was the logos. He is the word made flesh. But when Jesus spoke, what he spoke was rhema. That's different. That's a word that is designed to touch our hearts. That's the word. Logos is the word made flesh. But when Jesus spoke, he was speaking rhema. He spoke word that brought life, spoke word that penetrated to the very heart and soul, the very depths of a person. That's what Jesus did. So amazing. So amazing. And we bless God for him. We bless God for him in all that he's done in our lives. Listen, I don't know if there were any comments tonight, but we're going to get ready to wrap up. You certainly have time. If you wanted to say something, all you have to do is press 1 at any time. But it's been a pleasure and a joy to be with you on tonight. And I'm trusting that your hearts are encouraged, and we believe God to encourage the hearts of those who may tune in even during the archives after this show is over, and they'll listen. You know, later we pray for an anointing to be upon the word, that they'll realize that the condemnation is lifted. There is no condemnation, and that God is there to lift up and to give us to know that it won't always be like this, but God is bringing us out. He is declaring breakthrough, and we declare breakthrough for you on tonight. We trust that you've been encouraged on tonight. We thank God for all of you who are listening by whatever means you're listening tonight. God bless you. We ask you to join us again next week for When Passion Meets Purpose. It's our pleasure, it's our joy to come to you in this way. God, we thank you and we bless you for yet another opportunity to share with your people. Be glorified the more in our midst, oh God. Thank you for raising us up. Thank you for never allowing us to fall. Though we stumble, God, you uphold us with your free spirit, and we thank you for that. It's our desire, oh God, to put our minds toward heaven, to look toward you, to allow our outlook to be shaped by the things of the Spirit of God. And we give you glory for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Join us again next week, 7:30 p.m., When Passion Meets Purpose. God bless you.